Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Drunk women solving.
This is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Katie Wilkins and I'm an author and comedian. I'm joined by screenwriter Hannah George.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where brandy meets bludgeoning, mimosa meets misdemeanor, and port meets prostitution. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
I just like pretending that a detective actually sounds like Katie. Like, right now. No, that was really good, guys.
If you're wanking in a dead end, you know, you were meant to be there.
He cheated on his wife loads. He belonged to a yacht club, so I think that tells us everything we need to know right there. So,
now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Joining us this episode is our special guest, Absolute Radio DJ and voiceover artist, Claire Sturgeon! Yay!
Woo! Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming. We're so excited. Oh, also, it would be very remiss of me not to mention our other special guest, Unicorn Tears Gin.
Oh, can I applaud that as well?
Yes,
please.
Thank you.
Sparkly.
That's what we are drinking, but we'll talk more about that later. Claire,
yes.
Have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Well, funny you should ask that. Kind of, but my issue with crime,
yes,
is the fact that I like to get involved.
Nice.
Can I rephrase that? No, I like to help. I see myself as a kind of Miss Marple. Not my word, someone actually used that. No, I've not actually been a victim, but I've been in an area where things have happened and I've got involved.
You've acted.
Yeah, just to try and help people out.
That's brilliant. So vigilante justice.
Yes.
So you're one step away from Batman.
Vigilante, yeah, that's it.
Okay, I like this. So what did you vigilanticise?
my local chemist on the high street is run by lovely people, they have a lot of shoplifters. And I was in there just the other week and I saw someone shoplift, two people shoplifting. This happens a lot. If it was a large supermarket chain or a large department store.
Yeah.
I mean, living in London, we see this happen. But I thought, I'm just not happy about this. This is the small chemist and it's run by two, at the time, there's two women running it.
Right.
I'm not happy about this. So they were tucked behind shelves and they were doing it in front of me. So I said to them, please don't do that. Please.
Wow.
Please don't do that.
I love it. I
can't argue with that.
But I was polite.
How perfectly spoken is that? Yeah.
Please don't do that.
That would be very disarming. Seriously, please no.
Please stop. It's really not worth it. And of course you get the look of, well, shut up. Shut up. But they carried on. So so as they pushed someone out of the way, I just grabbed his backpack.
Oh, my God.
I don't know why I did that.
Clear. You
better. I grabbed his backpack and he swirled around and he went flying and dropped all the... He's rubbing makeup. It's makeup.
Was he? Do you think this is a really sad story that he's kind of like...
Oh, no, don't say...
You know, he's kind of experimenting with some things and he's never had acceptance from anyone else.
No, I can tell you that wasn't the case. Okay. Anyway, he dropped most of what he was stealing and they ran out, I think, pretty much without anything. But what was unfortunate, the woman behind the counter who was dispensing drugs at the time to deserving people... used the C word as they went. She went something like da 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 C word, and I was, and we were like, oh, but secretly really admired her.
Yeah.
So the story has everything.
So you literally solved a crime.
Well, I like to think I maybe stopped it being really bad because I sometimes suspect that sometimes the staff have to cover the cost themselves.
If it's a family run, it's not like a mega conglomerate with insurance or whatever.
So I'd like to think...
Annie, you're paying for that rouge. They probably don't talk like that. They do in the chemist in my head.
Were you not a little bit afraid? Because that's very physical.
No, I am now.
You tell the story, yeah.
But I get so cross when I see bad things happening to good people.
Injustice. Yeah.
It makes me angry.
Boy, is London the city for you.
But Mark, my partner Mark, is, please, Claire, don't do it, Claire. You know, I like to think I wouldn't put myself in terrible danger. I just grabbed his backpack and swung him. Back. You know?
That's
so
good,
your partner has seen a lot of this? And he tries to hold you back?
He sees it in my eyes and he said, don't get involved. If I see an argument and I feel a woman is being picked on in the street, don't get involved, Claire. Yeah. And I just stand there and just let them know I'm watching. He said, because they'll come and punch me. They won't punch you. But I have one more story. Can
go
I say
on.
One?
Yeah.
One?
Please do.
And again, I don't feel I was a victim, but it was early one morning, two summers ago, beautiful summer's morning, early in the morning, about 6:15. I was in my bedroom upstairs. Mark had left. He'd gone for a run. And I was getting dressed. I was dressed. And I was just brushing my hair, looking out the window. And there was a man downstairs, outside, looking up at my window. Can I say wank?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I can say any swear words you like.
She's off the radio. But he was masturbating.
Oh, wow.
And
I love that you didn't say wank.
Yeah, okay, when he was wank. I was furious. Yes. Again, how dare you?
Yeah. How dare you?
In my street.
Yeah.
We live in a cul-de-sac.
No business doing that here.
We live in a cul-de-sac. There's no walking through here. You know, it's a dead end. If you're wanking in a dead end, you know, you were meant to be there. You meant to be there.
If our episodes had titles, it would definitely be Wanking in a Dead End. I mean, that's just beautiful.
Honestly.
So, in my fury, in my head, in fact, I did. I leant out the window and can I...
You say anything you want.
Fuck off, you fucking dirty old fuck, is what I said.
Awesome.
Good. Succinct
so
to the
managed
point.
To wake
like
up
it.
The whole street.
Oh, no.
And my phone wasn't nearby, so I thought, okay. So I left the window, ran downstairs to get my phone, and whether or not I would have opened the front door, I don't know, but I looked out of the downstairs window and he had gone. So I phoned the police. And they came immediately, which was great, because when you phone 999, you know, which service do you want? Police, please. Hello, please, can I help you? Well, what do you say? Hi, good morning.
Hello, can I say wank?
Yeah. Thank you, because I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to say. So I said, there's a man outside my house doing something to himself. I thought, do I say masturbate? Do I say, I don't know what to say. So in the end, I just say something like pleasuring himself. I'm sorry.
It's a delicate, it is. Scenes of a delicate nature.
But they came really quickly. Wow. So sorry.
No, can't just think about that one.
They turned Cheers. Up really quickly. Cheers. Wow. And said, do you have a description? And I said, well, I wasn't looking at his face. I'm so sorry. That's the biggest cock I've ever seen.
It was massive.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
It was massive. Anyway, I couldn't give a description. I could describe what he was wearing, and off they went. And they didn't catch him. And that's sort of the end of the story. However, of course, all my neighbours were woken up and came out, and I had to explain what it was.
Wow.
And then for a few days after, of course, walking down the high street, people were talking about, that's the woman who saw the man. And I overheard this one person saying, well, all I heard was this really posh voice waking me up going, fuck off, you fucking fucker. And I was like, is that what I sound like? I didn't have what I thought was the North London, like, fuck off. I did sound like, fuck off, you fucking fucker.
I wonder if that's his whole game plan.
He's turned on by strong women. Scolded.
Maybe it is, yeah.
I don't, because sometimes it scares them too. Sometimes, you know, they pick the people that look more vulnerable or that look young.
But he didn't see you in the house.
It depends
right?
on what kind
Yes,
of,
he did. He looked right up at me,
And I was a compliment, really.
Well, yeah. And I've never seen him again. He certainly wasn't local. And, I say I never see, I mean, maybe I have, I don't, but.
Wow. Yeah. What if it was Louis C.K.? He's been so quiet, like I'm waiting for him to be like the oops, I'm sorry tour, but maybe he's just really committed to his fetish now. And
it's a thought, drunk women, it's a thought.
I feel I've peaked already, sorry.
No, this is fantastic.
Yeah. Okay.
What should the punishment be?
Oh yeah, we like to dish out punishment.
Oh, okay.
What would you like to say to him if he was here today?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a really good... I mean, I was... What I wanted to do was just chuck a bucket of water over him and just get that
would
mother
be good,
down.
Actually.
Just a cold, hard, cold shock to the system. And
And
just slap. You know,
which,
send him
which,
on his
which
way.
Part, which bit?
Well, just whatever was protruding at the time, just slap it down.
I just want sound bites of you like, all over my house. I want you to be the new Alexa. Be like, Claire, just say something funny. Claire, Wanking. Tell me off. Tell me off, Claire.
I don't know, but not happy. How dare you? How dare you invade my lovely, beautiful, sunny morning in my cul-de-sac?
How dare you presume to wank at me?
Exactly.
Oh, I don't know why I missed the... Like, what time was it?
6:45 in the morning.
Oh, I early missed morning. That it was that time.
Early in the morning.
Do you think that's a late night or an early morning for that wank guy?
Well, exactly. Exactly.
She's making a good point there.
Yeah. I mean, not that it's relevant. It's still a crime.
It's like rush hour wanking. That's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't
know.
On the morning commute.
Gotta start.
Why not have a little wink?
Shocking some people in a cul-de-sac.
But no, I reckon the crime, a bucket of cold water. Nice.
Yeah, I like offending. That. That's a good punishment.
Over the offending thing.
Yeah.
Consider it done.
Yeah.
I'm going to start carrying buckets of water around me on the tube.
Exactly.
After that bombshell, I'm going to call everything a bombshell.
Yes.
That's going to be my thing.
Bombshell.
We are going to move on to the section of the podcast where we discuss... A crime. Another crime. So I'm going to give you guys some details. I'm going to set the scene for this crime, and then we're going to try and solve it together. And you can guess things.
I feel I need to take notes here. I'm a bit worried I don't have a pen. But you can repeat things. It's fine. It's fine.
That's fine. Yeah, if you have any questions.
Yeah.
I like your dedication, though.
Yeah,
I love... We've got to do this right.
I love this. I love crime.
Oh, cool.
Come on, Marple.
Everyone's guilty. Everyone's guilty. If I've had a drink,
I'm guilty. I had no idea we were going to have like a vigilante here today.
Come on.
With an incredible voice. Just do this.
Okay. I'm going to set the scene. At 7:30 a.m. one February morning, a body was found of a 49-year-old in their home in a trendy and affluent neighbourhood. If you had
You
like
killed
to...
the wanker, didn't you?
He wasn't well dressed or anything, so I think.
But your neighbourhood is nice.
Sorry, Sarge. Carry on, Sarge. Okay,
yeah.
You can have a guess if you want at this point if that body is male or female, or I can carry on and give you some more information.
49 years old, well dressed. Did you say?
Trendy and affluent neighbourhood, and in their home.
Those
are the only details you have to go on so far.
Okay.
So I will continue.
Yes, please.
A crowd gathered inside, and somebody identifying himself as a doctor. I feel like that's quite, because we can all identify ourselves as various things that we are not. So somebody identifying themselves as a doctor stepped forward and made a cursory examination of the body and declared cause of death to be a stomach hemorrhage. But when the body was then rolled over by the proper forensic investigators, it was revealed that the body had been shot at least once in the back by a small caliber pistol, which was not found at the scene. This doctor was never seen again.
It was an online. It was an online medical school. I didn't say I was. Yeah.
Was it Dr. Dre? Is that the,
yeah. Can't believe you guessed that already.
Okay, so never seen again.
Yeah, so people hypothesised at the time that they were just embarrassed that they made the wrong diagnosis. But could something more sinister have been at foot? Right, would you like to guess now if the body was male or female, or do you want to know what was found on the body?
Well, I mean, we could hazard a guess, because mostly it's women that's killed. So,
It's a woman, because that bullet wasn't immediately obvious and maybe got sunk in some hips.
Okay.
So it was in the back, though, wasn't it? The
shot in the back, yeah.
Shot in the back. Oh, but the back goes all the way down to the hips.
My hips come all the way up to my back, Anna. They're just a continuous zone.
Okay, so we've got one vote for woman.
You see, I assumed it was a man.
Okay.
I assumed it was a man. I don't know why.
Okay.
I think it's maybe because we talked about being you.
Yeah.
Because I'm imagining him with a giant penis.
Yeah.
And I think that's because of the story.
Okay, well, I'm sticking with what I kind of assumed.
Much
it was a man.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So we've got woman, man.
Is this an affluent neighbourhood, or are you just happy to see me?
I'm going to go with women, because I think women are probably more likely to be killed than
okay. I'm going to tell you what was found on the body. Mm. You can change your guesses, and then I'm going to tell you. I'm really dragging this bit out.
No, I like this.
Okay. Investigators found on the body a 2-carat diamond ring on one of the fingers. Wallet.
Mm-hmm.
Holding a substantial amount of cash. A silver cigarette case. A Waltham pocket watch. A locket bearing a photograph, and a penknife.
All found on the body?
Yeah.
A penknife?
Yeah.
And a pocket watch?
Yeah.
And a diamond ring?
Yeah. And a silver cigarette case.
I'm sticking with a man.
Sticking man? Okay.
Just because the pocket watch. I don't
know. Okay, cool. And you guys sticking woman?
Yes. Is that what I said? Yep.
Right. Yes. I can now reveal
the defense rests.
That Claire is correct. It's a man.
Okay. Yeah.
You.
The presence of such valuables suggested robbery was not the motive for the murder, although some other money did go missing. Mm. So it's a male. This is the murder of 49-year-old William Desmond Taylor. Mm-hmm. Now, we have at least 7 suspects. Yes, Claire, do you have a question?
No, 7 suspects already.
At least.
Wow.
Okay. Well, we're going to get to... I was trying to work out the best order to do this in.
He really pissed off some dwarves.
Yeah. So before we get into the more details and that, you kind of do need to know a bit more about where we are, so you can guess the year now if you want. Wait, before you guess the year, I want you to know that William Desmond Taylor spent some time on a dude ranch.
A dude ranch?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what that is.
So it's like a Wild West kind of ranch, but for tourists.
Oh.
So it's like...
But it's like kind of Westworld.
Yeah, but like it's like basically
but
like
nothing like that,
people
really,
that
really weird.
That want to go and do the Wild West thing, but don't want to actually get hurt, so they get to kind of stay in cabin.
So it could have just been.
So it's like a gap year, but you stay on a. It's like where posh people go to not be really hurt, but do dude ranch stuff.
Okay.
Wow, I'm just
1952.
Okay. Good guess. Any advance on 19?
45.
45?
Well, they still have dude ranches now, I think.
They do.
They?
Oh!
So it could be, but also at the same time, a lot of those objects are pretty oldie-worldy. So I'm going to go 1930.
Hannah George, you are the closest.
Oh!
This is 1922.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay.
But yeah, so we should probably guess the place, like the locate, because basically...
I just like pretending that a detective actually sounds like Katie. Like, right now. No, that was really good, guys. Wait, which part? Oh, so cute.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Because, like, basically, this guy's job, which I'm about to tell you, will give away the location. So have a crack.
He worked on Wall Street.
Good guess. That would give away.
That would give away a certain location.
I'm going to Kansas. Oh, like, I give it away. Sorry.
Oh, best detective in life.
Darn. Kansas. Nobody was going to get Kansas. No, it's fine. No. You saved us a lot of pain. Okay,
so
it's
we
fine.
Do where he was murdered.
Right. Okay, so this all takes place in Russia. So
my trail dried up.
Bye. Is a posh Irish guy.
That's not a thing.
Yeah. He's Irish gentry.
Okay. I'm part Irish. I'm totally allowed to rip my people.
This crime took place in Los Angeles.
Oh,
this guy was an actor turned director. You guys, this is a Hollywood scandal.
Oh,
how did we not see that coming?
I know.
Okay, so I can now reveal the photo in the locket was actress Mabel Normand. Ooh. Pay attention to that name, it might come up later.
Okay.
The amount of cash in the wallet was $78, which is $1,148 today. I couldn't tell you that without really giving away that we were talking olden days before.
Sure.
And the missing money, there was a large but undetermined sum of cash that Taylor had shown to his accountant the day before, which was then missing and apparently never accounted for after his death.
I'm going to make a note that he'd shown to his accountant. So his accountant knew he had it on. Okay, yeah. Make a note of that.
After some investigation, the time of Taylor's death was set at 7:50 p.m. on the evening of the 1st of February, 1922. So, record scratch. Let's take this back to the top. Can we insert a record scratch?
The request for a sound effect is always better than the actual thing.
So, what is the story of William Desmond Taylor, and who are the upwards of 7 suspects in his murder? Well, I will tell you some of those things. William Desmond Taylor, born William Cunningham Dean Tanner, he changed his name.
But only kind of.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep the consonants because I got to keep my roots.
So, he was born in 1872. When he was working in Hollywood, he was a popular figure in the growing Hollywood motion picture colony of the 1910s and early 1920s. He directed 59 silent films between 1914 and 1922, and he acted in 27 films between 1913 and 1915. So he was this posh Irish person, and he attended Marlborough College in England in 1890. He left Ireland to go to this dude ranch in Kansas. And at that time, it was this trend among some of the Anglo-Irish and English gentry to send their sons to the United States to become gentleman farmers. And at that point, Wikipedia says citation needed.
I'm gentleman farmers.
I don't know if I should have used something other than Wikipedia.
Are they all like farming in top hats? Is that
yeah. That's the image I've got. Very much so. So in Kansas, William became reacquainted with acting, his first experience being at school, and he moved to New York to pursue it.
I knew it!
Oh, yes, New York comes into it.
New York does feature.
We all had a feeling, didn't we?
Yes, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
In New York, he married an actress called Ethel May Hamilton in 1901. They have a baby daughter by 1903. Do you think they lived happily ever after?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
How? So when was he killed?
1922.
So kid was born in 1903, so she'd be maybe 19. Yeah. I'm sticking her on the list. I think she's one of the seven.
You should say that.
Yeah, 19-year-old daughter. Do you know what I mean? She'd be, yeah.
They do all the murders.
Sure.
Yeah.
I've tried to shoot my dad, haven't we?
Yeah. Oh, teen angst? Yeah. Boom.
You might find some stuff that happens in a bit interesting.
But only you, Hannah. Only you.
So do you think he was a nice, happy, settled, faithful husband?
Yes.
No.
Just wonder.
Okay. No, he was a massive shagger. He cheated on his wife loads. He belonged to a yacht club, so I think that tells us everything we need to know right there. Him and his posh Irish family were well known in New York society and members of several clubs. Mm-hmm. He was known as a ladies' man and a heavy drinker, possibly depressed.
Impossibly depressed?
Possibly. Not impossibly.
Oh, that's more romantic though, isn't it? I mean, possibly depressed.
He's a torture poet. He abruptly vanished on 23rd of October 1908, at the age of 36, deserting his wife and their daughter Ethel Daisy. After Taylor's disappearance, friends said that he had suffered mental lapses before and that his family thought that he had wandered off during an episode of amnesia. Now, my question to you is, how long do you think he went missing for? Like days, weeks, bit of a Stephen Fry or a full-on man in a canoe?
I'm going full-on man in a canoe. I think he disappeared and people... Yeah,
okay.
People thought he'd gone forever.
Okay.
And then when he wasn't gone forever, they decided to knock him off.
Ooh, interesting.
I don't know where that came from, but
no,
yeah, I'm
like
going
it.
Full on.
Gotta go with
months.
Your gut.
Okay.
Yeah, months.
Well, I would say that would he, as an actor, would he not just like crop up in a movie and people go, oh, there he is. He's in Breakfast at Tiffany's. There he goes. We thought he was missing, but he's not. He's in the chorus. But I mean, I think a man with that ambition, you know, and all the stuff he's done, I don't think he'd want to be gone for too long. So
okay.
I think
nine months. Ooh. Okay, we have 9 months over here.
I think 7.5 days.
He was missing for 4 years. He officially reappeared in San Francisco in 1912, and his wife obtained a state divorce that same year. Little is known of the years immediately following his disappearance. He travelled through Canada, Alaska and the northwestern United States gold mining and working with various acting troupes.
So sweaty right now. Unicorn gin, what are you doing?
I do like this gin. It's very nice.
It is good.
Can I read what's on the back of the bottle?
Yes, please.
It contains unicorn tears.
Lovely.
Yeah.
To unleash their magical powers, swirl the bottle, behold its shimmering majesty,
ooh,
consume the mythical spirit.
Ooh.
Which we are doing, look. I like it.
It is beautiful.
Yeah,
the shimmer is.
Yeah.
Oh,
it is.
So it's got glitter in it, which
pretty
is
alluring.
It does have glitter, but not big glitter chunks. Just a glitter
subtle.
Shimmer. Very subtle.
The other thing
it's
is, though, so this company, drink. Firebox, thank you, Firebox, because they sent us so much swag.
Thank you.
It's ridiculous, but I also love your chutzpah, if I can use a little Yiddish, because they have two products. One, I love chocolate-covered coffee beans, so they have them. But they're called fucking strong coffee chocolate beans. Wow. I love the balls
can
in that brand.
Can I try
brand.
One of those?
Yeah, please,
what's
open
the,
it.
What's,
and
okay,
then there's
is...
a chocolate bar, a strawberries and cream chocolate called Thanks for Putting Up With My Shit.
Oh, does anyone need a top up?
Absolutely. Go
yes,
on.
I
the
think
top,
maybe.
The tonic
right.
is behind
Shh.
You.
Here's the sound right. of unicorn tears.
Oh.
Yep. Yeah.
That sounds like you've taken it out of unicorn's butt.
Well... You know.
So once he turned up again, he turned up in San Francisco. And some New York acquaintances met him and provided him with some money to reestablish himself in Los Angeles. So then he went on to direct some of the most popular stars of the era, including Mary Pickford, Wallace Reed, Dustin Farnham, and his protege, Mary Miles Minter, who starred in the 1919 version of Anne of Green Gables. Now, remember her name, because she is important.
I worry about
it. I've already forgotten.
She's actually one of the suspects.
Mary.
I worry about the word protege Mary, when used in sort
and
of Hollywood.
So should you.
Yeah, okay.
So, Mary Miles Minter is actually one of the seven suspects. We're getting close to his death. Mary Miles Minter was a child star with a very pushy stage mum who was also a suspect. It was also around this time that Taylor's ex-wife and daughter were aware that he was working in Hollywood. In 1918, while watching the film Captain Alvarez, they saw Taylor appear on the screen.
Yes, it happened. I'm so pleased.
Ethel responded, "That's your father." In response, Ethel Daisy wrote to Taylor in care of the studio, and in 1921, Taylor visited his ex-wife and daughter in New York City and made Ethel Daisy his legal heir.
Oh, it was the daughter, wasn't it? Oh, mate.
Sort of just in time, isn't it? Very spurious timing. So we've come full circle. He's been murdered.
Wow. Okay.
Let's meet the other suspects. Now, the first two suspects are the valets. Mm. So the first valet is Edward Sands. And he has prior convictions for embezzlement, forgery, and serial desertion for the US military. He was born in Ohio. He had multiple aliases and spoke with an affected Cockney accent. I don't know who decided that it was a fake Cockney accent.
Is Danny Dyer based on him?
Yeah. He went on to star in EastEnders. he had worked as Taylor's valet and cook until about 7 months before the murder. When Taylor was in Europe the summer before, Sands had forged Taylor's name on checks and wrecked his car. Later, Sands burgled Taylor's bungalow, leaving footprints in the film director's bed. Following the murder, Sands was never heard from again.
Oh, okay.
So, jury's out on him. Henry Peavy is so he's. You think he's innocent?
I think he's innocent because I think that all the crimes he was committing against him made him feel like, oh, I'm going to look like a suspect, so I'll make myself scarce. But that is not the pattern of somebody who's gearing up to murder.
Ooh, I like it.
That's good because I'm like, he did it. But thank you for reining me in there. Okay. So next,
okay.
He's from Ohio, didn't have an
Right. Henry Peavy was the valet who took over. He replaced Sands as the valet. He's the one that found Taylor's body. Mm. Newspapers noted that Peavy wore flashy golf costumes but did not own any golf clubs. That just makes me feel a little bit sorry for him. So those are the valets. Sounds like we don't think either of them did it.
No.
Okay. Suspect number three, Mabel Normand. You may remember her. She's the chick in the locket.
Yes.
Sure.
So Mabel Normand was a popular comedic actress and frequent co-star with Charlie Chaplin. So William was deeply in love with Normand, who had originally approached him for help in curing her cocaine dependency. Based upon Norman's subsequent statements to investigators, her repeated relapses were devastating for Taylor. Taylor met with federal prosecutors shortly before his death and offered to assist them in filing charges against Norman's cocaine suppliers. Basically, he wants to stop the criminals that are blighting her with drugs.
Just making notes, okay.
Yeah. So she was actually the last one to see him alive. She left his bungalow the night before at 7:45 p.m. in a happy mood, carrying a book that he had lent her. They blew kisses to each other as her limousine drove away. And
she knew. I've made my judgment.
She was subjected to a grueling investigation, but ruled out as a suspect.
Oh, okay.
And that's fine then.
Okay, well, next.
So suspect number four is Faith Cole McLean. Her and her husband Douglas McLean were the neighbours. And Faith is widely believed to have seen Taylor's killer. The couple was startled by a loud noise at 8 p.m. She went to her front door and saw someone emerging from the front door of Taylor's home, who she said was dressed like my idea of a motion picture burglar.
So what, the little black mask stripy top?
Like, honestly, this woman is like the least helpful person to catch a criminal like I've ever heard. She said the person paused for a moment before turning and walking back through the door as if having forgotten something, then reemerged, flashed a smile before disappearing between the buildings. McLean decided that she had heard a car backfire. She also told police interviewers that the person looked funny, like movie actors in makeup, and may have been a woman disguised as a man.
Oh.
So it's like super ambiguous. It could have been anyone. Thanks a lot,
Faith.
She
sounds like she's... Yeah, yeah.
Suspect number five is Charles Ayton. He was the general manager of Paramount Pictures, and it was several sources claimed in the hours following Taylor's murder that Ayton entered Taylor's bungalow with a group of Paramount employees and removed compromising items either before police arrived or with their permission. And the thing about this is that then Wikipedia says citation needed. So if anything, the conspiracy continues.
Thanks, Wikipedia.
Suspect number six is Mary Miles Minter. The former child
Triple
star
M.
and teen screen idol whose career had been guided by Taylor.
Guided.
Minter, who had grown up without a father, was only 3 years older than the daughter that Taylor had abandoned in New York.
Oh, no.
Love letters from Minter were found in Taylor's bungalow. Based upon these, reporters alleged that a sexual relationship between the 49-year-old Taylor and 19-year-old Minter had started when she was 17. But her mother, Charlotte Selby, is one of the more serious suspects, I would say.
Is this number seven?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Charlotte Selby, the mother. Like many stage mothers before and since, she has been described as manipulative and consumed by wanton greed over her daughter's career. So her and her daughter were bitterly divided over financial disputes and lawsuits. They later reconciled. So Shelby's initial statements to police about the murder are still characterised as evasive and obviously filled with lies about her daughter's relationship with Taylor and other matters. But perhaps the most compelling bit of circumstantial evidence was that Shelby allegedly owned a rare 38 caliber pistol and some unusual bullets, which were very similar to the kind which had killed Taylor.
We could have saved ourselves 40 minutes here.
She knew the district attorney socially and then spent years outside the United States in an effort to avoid both official inquiries by his successor and press coverage related to the murder. Bonus other suspects. The original wife and daughter, because he, you know, left all his money to them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still going with... Yeah.
Absolutely. And what about the person who first said that he'd been... Not shot.
That it was a stomach hemorrhage.
Yes. So yeah. Who was that? We don't know who that was.
We never found out who that was.
We never knew who that was.
No.
Well, that person's on my list.
Claire, who do you think was that?
Out of those 7/8.
Or the mystery doctor.
Mabel is not quite... I'm not feeling... That's just so... I'm going to go with Mabel.
Okay.
I think Mabel...
I think Ethel, all day long.
Yeah, it's his actually, daughter. Now, the daughter. Now, yes.
You know what I mean? He's abandoned her for years, abandoned her during her child. I got annoyed if my dad went away for like an evening. I'd be like, no, Dad, come back, give me some attention, please. So I think if my dad had totally abandoned me, sure.
Bitterness.
Sure, I'd kill him and frame him.
Build to a murderous rage.
Yeah, and take all his money.
And have the money, yeah.
Thank you.
Everyone's a winner.
Okay.
All apart from him.
Ethel, the daughter.
Okay.
Teed up the murder, but did not pull the trigger.
Ooh.
I think she got in good with Minty Mary Magdalene. Ooh. I can't remember her name.
Yeah.
Triple M. And they joined on a common thread, which was, we have been wronged by this
Mary Miles Minter.
Mm-hmm. So she put Mary Miles Minter up to it. In exchange for a cut of the
winnings
she inherited.
Wow.
Okay.
I like it.
I guess there is no answer.
No, it's a cold case. But it's not a cold case anymore. We just sold it.
Hey, cheers, everybody.
Here's to making it warm again. Yeah.
Drunk women solving crime.
There is just time to give a verdict on a crime that somebody has written in with. Dear Drunk Women, thank you for using our correct title. I am a ballerina and someone keeps stealing my baguette out of my bag during rehearsals. What can I do?
That's like a Quentin Blake book. Ballerina and the baguette. Well, first of all, congratulations for eating carbs.
Yeah.
And defying a stereotype about ballerinas.
Although she's not eating them because it's stolen.
Yeah.
True, but she had the intentions there.
Sure.
Oh.
I think she's...
Maybe this is just a ruse. Maybe she's not eating her calves. She's claiming someone is stealing the baguettes because... Ooh. You know, that's mean, actually. I didn't mean that. But maybe that's the ruse. I can't eat it because someone's stolen it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A plain baguette, like just a loaf of bread.
That's what she says.
With cream cheese, tuna mayo... No. Or just a baguette.
Plain. She likes it plain. What could she...
Could be used as a weapon. I'm just saying, I saw Black Swan and shit went down. Or as a sex toy. Some baguettes are the right shape and size.
Which baguettes are these?
Yeah. Like the baguette on the guy that Claire saw at the beginning.
So what does she need? She needs advice on how to stop this happening.
Either stop it happening, catch them,
identify the thief.
Punish them.
How to punish them? How to? Okay, let's go down that route.
There's one thing I know about dancers. It's this: lock up your shit.
Oh really?
Lock up your shit.
Are they a bit nicky?
Of course they are. Now I say this only having taken 2 years of dance at Lisa Marie's
and you stole everything
in Freeport, Pennsylvania. Wow. But people took your shit if you didn't lock it up. So
wow.
I don't see why the Bolshov is any different. What's it called? The Bolshoi.
Okay, Bolshoi. So your advice,
the bok choy,
essentially is trust no one, lock your shit up.
Yeah.
Okay. Lick your baguette. I always think if you're in debt, just lick whatever item you want. Just lick it, and then you will know that they're
eating your saliva. And leave a post-it note on it saying, I licked this.
Yeah. Simple,
motherfucker.
Simple, effective.
Nice. That's the sibling effect.
Yeah.
I like that.
So is our advice really lock up your stuff?
Of course not, because you have to expose baguettes to air or everybody knows they get soggy. That's just good bread practice. So we need to give a better solution.
Okay.
I think she needs to excuse herself and like monitor the situation and catch them red-handed.
Okay. Yeah, bring a friend maybe to be secretly watching.
Yeah. Film it, film it, set up a camera.
Is she saying that she's going to ballet practice and leaving her bag by her locker or in her locker and someone is invading her locker
It sounds like it's just like on the bench in the like it's not locked away.
But those
there's
long
lockers, bags there.
They'd be really good for a baguette, wouldn't they? Do you know what I mean? It's literally a baguette shape.
Cut it in half. Yeah. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Oh, perfect.
Or fill it with Marmite. Everyone hates Marmite, don't they?
Yes, pick a disgusting filling. Although she likes it. Maybe this person's bringing their own cheese and stuff and making a sandwich with her plain baguette. Yeah.
Really digging it in.
Yeah.
I think I like the perp more than the perp.
You know, we had a case on another episode where somebody was stealing Laughing Cow cheese from somebody in the office. Ooh. I feel like there's a couple. This is like the Bonnie and Clyde. Like, you get the bread, I'll get the cheese. It's the perfect crime.
It is.
Oh, my God.
Just let it happen. It's romance.
That would be the hottest thing to happen in a relationship.
Oh, it would be.
It's like,
mush it together. Split it and rub each other together. I could get down with that. Yeah.
So let them get on with it, basically. Let them take it, is what I'm saying.
So say, let them take the baguette.
Sure.
That's our advice.
I feel we've not helped.
Yeah, we need.
Why don't you dance with the baguette? Like, take it to the rehearsal.
This is my prop now.
Yeah, be like, I've got a cane. Isn't that one of the ballets? I've got a cane. They don't sing. I don't go to a lot of ballet.
I've got a cane. It's seminal.
Yeah.
I mean, Nutcracker and Swan Lake. Those are the two ballets. So you must be able to incorporate
Swans bread, right?
They do.
Feed swans.
So she can be the swan that's eating.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can feed it to all the little cygnets, like the little sort of like...
Oh, but you're supposed to give them peas, so we're breaking all the rules.
Oh, bad practice.
Mm. Well, look, Claire's the vigilante expert, Claire.
Oh, I'm stumped. Other than licking it, and with the satisfaction that they've still stolen it, but you've licked it, and there's a little bit of grossness in their lives that only you know about.
I'll see you're licking it and put it up your ass. Look, if it's really getting to you and you can't stop the crime, put it up your ass.
Okay. So be as disgusting as possible.
Yeah.
And then if they like spot something's wrong with this baguette and they leave it, you're like, oh, well, I can't really eat it now. It's been half up my ass.
No, see it through.
No halvesies.
Also, hollow it out. Just eat the middle bit.
I hope that's helped. That's all we've got time for. Thank you so much, Claire Sturgis.
Thank you, Claire.
That was great.
And thank you, Unicorn Tears. Thanks for listening and goodbye. Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman. Music by The Lion and the Wolf. If you would like to, you can follow us on Drunk Women Pod on Twitter. On Facebook and Insta, we are Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And also, if you have a crime that you would like us to solve, write it on a review on Apple Podcasts as well. Thank you to Acast and thank you for listening. Bye!
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.